This morning's reading is taken from the second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and then chapter 2, verses 13 to the end. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. And now chapter 2, verse 13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good word and deed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning, everybody. Great to see you. I'm just going to move this because I like the visual aid behind me. We're going to need in a moment. So as Sally said in the notices, a big thank you to those who helped decorate inside and outside the church this morning. I've done a bit of research into the history and significance of the poppy, and now most of you will probably know all this, but it's good to be reminded of it, particularly when it's Remembrance Sunday, isn't it? So this is what I found out, according to the producers of the poppy. They write this. Our red poppy is a symbol of both remembrance of the past and hope for a peaceful future. The poppy is well-known and a well-established symbol, one that carries a wealth of history and meaning with it. Wearing a poppy is still a very personal choice, reflecting individual experiences and personal memories. It's never compulsory, but it is greatly appreciated by those who it is intended to support. But what's the inspiration and history behind the poppy becoming a symbol of remembrance? During World War I, much of the fighting took place in Western Europe. The countryside was blasted, bombed, and fought over repeatedly. Previously beautiful landscapes turned to mud, bleak and barren spaces where little or nothing could grow. But there was a notable and striking exception to the bleakness: the bright red Flanders poppies. These resilient flowers flourished in the middle of so much chaos and destruction, growing in thousands upon thousands. I'll just read that again. These resilient flowers flourished in the middle of so much chaos and destruction, growing in the thousands upon thousands. In the spring of 1915, shortly after losing a friend at Ypres, a Canadian doctor, Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, was moved by the sight of these poppies, and that inspiration led him to write the now famous poem, In Flanders Fields, which I'll read now. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. This poem then inspired an American academic named Moynier Michael to adopt the poppy in memory of those who had fallen in the war, and she campaigned to get it adopted as an official symbol of remembrance across the United States, and worked with others who were trying to do the same in Canada, Australia, and the UK. Also involved with those efforts was a French woman, Anna Guren, who was in the UK in 1921, where she planned to sell poppies in London. There she met Earl Haig, founder of the Royal British Legion, who was persuaded to adopt the poppy as an emblem of the Legion in the UK. The Legion, which had been formed in 1921, ordered 9 million poppies and sold them on the 11th of November that year. The poppies sold out almost immediately, and that first poppy appeal raised over £106,000 to help veterans with housing and jobs, which was a considerable sum at that time. In view of how quickly the poppies had sold and wanting to ensure plenty of poppies for the next appeal, Major George Howson set up the poppy factory to employ disabled ex-servicemen. Today, the factory and the Legion's warehouse in Aylesfield produces millions of poppies each year. Today, 40,000 volunteers distribute 40 million poppies. So there you go, a bit about the history of the poppy. And I think the poppy is a really important symbol. A symbol is something that stands for something else. So especially here is this description of what a symbol is: a material object representing something abstract. So we have here a bit of red, green paper with a bit of black plastic, which is a material object, but actually the meaning and significance behind this object is significant if you understand its meaning. Otherwise, it's just a bit of paper and plastic. And what it does is it prompts us to look back at the horrors of war, but also to look forward with hope. And I think this is really important, this dual looking, where we look back and forward, acknowledging the pain of the past, but looking to the future with hope. It's what we do when we come to our confession at the start of each service. We look backwards. We acknowledge the ways we've messed up, the sins we've done, but we also acknowledge those who've sinned against us. That's part of the prayer that Jesus taught, is to recognize that sin isn't just something we do, but it's something that is done against us, and receiving forgiveness for that and moving on from that as well. So this dual, looking back and looking forward, because when we look forward with hope, knowing that when we confess our sins, we know the words, don't we? God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He makes us new. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, knew this. He acknowledges the difficulties and pain of the past and also the pain of their current situation. He writes to them, as we heard this morning, perseverance and faith. He writes about their perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials that they are enduring. So this is things that they've been through that have been very difficult and things that they're going through right now that are painful and difficult. Paul is aware that this little church, this little group of Christians, is having a hard time. They're really struggling. Things have been difficult. But this part of the letter also looks forward with hope. Paul writes, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." He mentions eternal encouragement, the kind of encouragement that can only come from God, that has that long scope of the beginning and end, the Alpha and Omega of all things. He talks about good hope. So this is looking forward, trusting. We call it faith when we look forward and we trust. And he talks about strength, strength that we gain from having a hopeful future. So Paul doesn't deny that things have been and continue to be very difficult for this group of people, but he does it in the context of future hope. Now, the pessimist and the cynic out there, or the pessimist and cynic in us, might say, well, what good is future hope? What good is it waiting for good things? We need good things now. It's now that's important. But how we are in the present, in the here and now, is hugely impacted by how we see our future. So being present, being in the moment, is important. If you only live in the past, either with nostalgia for how good things used to be, or with regret, if you're just looking back, then you miss out on the here and now. And conversely, if you're always looking forward and daydreaming about something that's to come, then those dreams, those daydreams, become just that. They're empty. If all it is wishing that something would be different. But if you're able to reflect well on the past and look to the future with hope, then you can live well in the here and now. So the poppy asks us to look back at the worst and most painful parts of history, but also to look forward with hope. So this sonnet, this honest, sober reflection of the past, enables us to look forward with determination not to repeat the mistakes of the past. Okay, I'm going to say it. Everyone needs to take a big, deep breath. Brexit. Sorry. It seems that we're all sick of Brexit, aren't we? We're sick of talking about Brexit, and every other day it's happened. But I was thinking about it the other day, and thinking about if this happened 200 years ago, this Brexit debate, that it, by now, there would be people would be taking up weapons. And they would be fighting each other. Because when you look throughout history, what happens when you have two groups of people and say one want to stay and one want to remain? It's not long before someone or some people on those groups of people pick up a weapon and start hurting each other. Because that's what history teaches us. That's what happens. People can't seem to disagree without war happening. That's how wars happen. So what we see in the Brexit debate is something different. And I think that's why the archbishops were so adamant about the dangers of this use of violent language, is because those words become action. When we talk in a violent way, when our rhetoric becomes violent, that leads to violence. And we've seen throughout history just the horrors and the destruction of life that brings. Human history shows us clearly where this kind of language and rhetoric leads. It's not long before someone takes up a weapon. So when you think about it, it's nothing short of miraculous that we're able to have these kind of debates and disagreements without war. This is new. In human history, this is new, that we can have this disagreement and debate without taking up weapons. So looking back is important. The symbol of the poppy invites us to look back and remember and to look forward with hope. And there's another symbol that does this in an even more profound way. The cross. We have it here, draped in poppies, calling us to look back, but also to look forward. The cross asks us to look back at Jesus' death. But it's not just at one man's dying, it's to look back at the whole of human suffering and death. That's what's contained within the symbol of the cross. But the cross also asks us to look forward with new hope to a new dawn and new life. And this isn't just wishful thinking for kind of a fluffy heaven after we die. This is about the here and now, because the resurrection was done in the flesh. You remember Jesus coming to the disciples, holding out his hands and saying, touch me. Touch the scars. I am here in the here and now. This is resurrection. This isn't some fluffy place after we die. This is life now. It affects life now. It's not just hope for the future, but life now, on earth as in heaven. The hope of the future impacting how we act and speak, how we do life, how we do church, how we do our relationships, how we do work. We live in the now. Because it's all God gives us. He only gives us the now. We can look back and we can look forward, but he only gives us the now, and I think that's for a reason. We need to reflect honestly on the past. We need to bring before God the things we've done wrong and say sorry. And that old-fashioned word, repent, we turn from them because we want to live differently.
And then we look forward and we move forward with hope and with Christ. To know that the future is secure in God's hands, won through the death and resurrection of Christ. That all things will be redeemed and reconciled and made new in him. All things. The poppy and the cross invite us to look back and reflect and to look forward with hope. As St. Paul puts it, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.